Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. I know we've been gone for a little while. Sadly, you know, Dan's job got in the way, and unfortunately for me, I managed to get myself sick again. So, but we are back, and we're off and running for this week. But, hey, if you'd like to call in and talk to us, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so you can look for a new blog popping up there sometime tomorrow. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
All right, well, you know, Dan, I know we're, I guess, behind on a little bit of everything, but it seems right now the biggest story is what the leagues are going to do with this coronavirus roaming around. And it looks like now the first team that's going to be affected by an actual, like, city ruling are the San Jose Sharks. Apparently, the Santa Clara Public Health Department banned what they described as mass events. That's an event that would attract more than 1,000 people. And it looks like the Sharks have 3 home games that could be impacted by this. Why? Yeah, are we looking at empty arenas, do you think, to get these games in for the NHL? I mean, the season is almost over. Or the regular season, I should say, is almost over. So are we going to see an empty arena, or you think we got something else going on? Do they move it to, you know, kind of make them play all road games, even though it gives them an uneven schedule?
I think they're almost better off just going with the empty arena. But, I mean, I don't know. I think people are a little – far ahead of themselves?
Yeah, I mean, I guess in a situation like this, the leagues have to be ready, you know, for these kind of situations. And obviously this wasn't the league itself. This was, you know, the actual city or county. I did notice, and I got a kick out of this one because I'm getting to listen to a lot of media members cry. They're all very upset that the first thing leagues did was take away some of their access to players.
No, I love this. I love this.
And, yeah, I just thought it was the funniest thing because right away they all started whining. And, you know, like today I heard one guy describe the media, you know, he called himself part of the dirty media. And it's just like, really, you know, they're just taking precautions. You know, and he was like, well, you know, they're not going to let the media in, but they're going to let 20,000 fans in because, you know, they don't want to lose the paying people. Well, A, no kidding. That's how they make their living. So that's a surprise. And B, if a player wants to stay away from a fan, he can stay away from a fan. The media is in the actual locker room with full access to these guys. You can't get away from the media guy. So, but yeah, I just thought it was hilarious listening to them all whine about it.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the one that I think is hilarious is because, I mean, it's not like those 20,000 are in the locker room.
Right. So, you know, yeah, I just – you know, that's been my favorite part. You know, I know there were some, you know, some other cancellations sports-wise. I know the Ivy League canceled both its men's and its women's basketball tournament, and they're just going to allow the team that won the conference championship to take the automatic qualifier and go into the NCAA tournament. So, which is fine with me. I mean, you know, the team won the regular season title. They should get the bid. But, yeah, I was a little surprised they canceled it. Are you kind of surprised they made that move already?
Yeah, but, I mean, I don't really pay attention to college, so I if anyone's going to get sick, it's those kids, right?
Yeah, you would think. I mean, of all the stuff that's gonna go on there, I mean, you would think the college kids would be, you know, more greatly, available. I don't know how to look at it. So we'll have to see. You know, and I know he backpedaled from his original stance, but what were you thinking about the LeBron James comment about how if the NBA decides to not let fans in, he's not going to play?
I mean, isn't that the whole reason? So, you know, I really don't have an issue with it. I mean, if he doesn't play, then gives a better chance for Giannis to kind of continue to make his run for MVP. And, I mean, at the end of the day, with a guy like LeBron, that's what we want. If I go to a game like I did last year, I want to see LeBron James play.
Yeah, I mean, you would think it was like, hey, wait, you know, this is where I would, you know, what I would want to do here. You know, I don't know, just kind of the way he went about it. I don't know if that was like the best way to do it. But yeah, he did some backpedaling and, you know, kind of got around it. So apparently he will be playing no matter what happens.
Yeah, but I mean, in his defense, though, you know, the teams, the coaches, I don't know if the players get involved, but, you know, they're liable to be fined if they decide to sit LeBron and Anthony Davis on a, you know, Thursday night TNT game against the Warriors, you know, because of the fact that, you know, they're in San Francisco or, you know, Santa Clara or wherever. I don't remember where they play, if they moved yet, but, you know, the whole point of those fans is to go and get to see LeBron finally. And then, you know, the coach sits them, so they get fined. So, I mean, in turn, if the NBA decides that none of the fans are going to be there, then I think the King has a valid point to maybe not play so he could just, you know, rest his aging body up for the playoffs, which sadly he's younger than I am. But, or no, I think, are we close? We're about the same age, I think. I don't remember. But, I mean, you know, you get where I'm coming from. So, I mean,
35 to 36, so.
Yeah, we're close. But, you know, I mean, I think it's just the fact that sometimes when he says things, he's so very blunt about it that the context is always taken, or it's taken out of context. So, but I'm sure he didn't want to get fined or lose any money.
Yeah. Yeah, I just thought it was kind of odd. I don't think he was the one I was expecting that out of, you know, I think was what caught me by surprise more than anything else. You know, I figured he would just be the guy who would be like, yeah, you know, we'll play whatever, no problem, you know. So, But yeah, now do you are you know, I don't know about you, are you to the point where you're worried about the baseball season here with what they might be able to do?
You know, I think if anything, once these guys get out of spring training, you know, Major League, or I don't know who's going to be affected by this more so, but I'm under the assumption that they all have their own planes, right?
I think so.
So, I mean, that kind of travel is going to be there. And, you know, with this whole fear-mongering outbreak that the media has bestowed upon us, you know, it does suck for those people who flew out to Arizona or went down to Florida and, you know, have gone down there years prior, or, you know, we're looking for that fan interaction that happens in spring training that you don't get during the regular season. So, I mean, that's what kind of sucks, you know, for those who kind of, that's what they went there for.
Yeah, I mean, that's got to be quite disappointing, you know, that. But unfortunately, it's just kind of the way, you know, the way things are going, you know. But yeah, you don't think we're going to see we're going to see baseball played in empty stadiums like we had that one White Sox Orioles game.
I don't think so, but I mean, you never know. You're dealing with vendors and fans and more than just the players.
I mean, that's the tough part with all the people, you know. But then, you know, you did mention it. I mean, you know, if you do get that affects quite a few people. I mean, there are, you know, if you've got an empty arena, there are a lot of people who make money off that arena. You mentioned vendors. There's, you know, obviously the guys who, you know, the parking attendants and, you know, all those people, they make their living, hustling those games. So it could have a big economical impact if they decide to make that move. And, you know, hopefully it doesn't come to this and whatever works itself out. But, you know, we're just going to have to kind of play along.
Yeah, until we're indoctrinated next year with the coronavirus flu shot, and there'll be a new flu next year.
Yeah, you know, it's always going to be something new, isn't there? It's just kind of how it goes. So,
yeah, interesting how it falls on election running.
Oh, you know, it gives them something to talk about, and then, you know, they can accuse, you know, Donald Trump of starting it, right? Isn't that how it goes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, I think that was one of the accusations thrown out there.
Yeah. I actually think I saw that pop up on my Twitter timeline. Somebody tweeted that, and I was like, wait, you actually think he started? I was like, okay, you know, that I don't even want to, you know, don't even want to go down that road here. But, you know, since you and I have been away, we've had a couple of, I'll use the word interesting turns in spring training, but probably not what the teams would describe. You know, the Red Sox had Chris Sale, who was going to start the year on, you know, he was going to start the year on IL anyways because he's recovering from pneumonia. He came up with an arm problem that they said isn't Tommy John. You know, Tommy John worthy. So, you know, apparently he's looking like he's going to be okay. Then Max Scherzer came up with, humorously, I saw it described in a quote as an ailment and was scratched from his start last week, they didn't really go into a lot of information, and then Justin Verlander also came up lame with a shoulder issue, I believe is what it ended up being for him. And Verlander came out yesterday and said he won't be ready to start the regular season. They don't expect it to push too far back. But, Dan, we're talking about probably 3 first-round fantasy picks. You know, what are guys like us going to do? How are we going to juggle this, and where are you rating these injuries at?
I think the one that maybe scares me the most would be Chris Sale. I think he has the potential to have one of the best seasons of his career. You know, well, I kind of feel that way over the last couple of years, but, you know, I think kind of getting into a spot where he's going to, and, you know, with his issue, like you said, it's not Tommy John, but we've definitely heard that before, and I think his scares me a little bit more than, say, Verlander, who, you know, is getting a little bit older, so you kind of you expect these things, but I also expect that he won't be out that long, and, you know, we'll kind of have to wait and see, but you've got to wonder with all the cheating allegations and him opening his mouth, and then, you know, there's pitchers out there that were claiming that there was something down in Houston that they were doing to the balls that were giving them a better spin rate. You know,
yeah.
He's trying to readjust his game completely. Yeah, I hate to go that route, but you got to wonder.
Yeah, what I found odd about Verlander is they originally described it as right tricep soreness, which, you know, a lot of pitchers run into during spring training, you know, as they're getting back in. But then they changed it to a mild lat strain. So I don't know if maybe he's got 2 injuries going on or – you know, what kind of happened to him, you know, and they have him to be determined for opening day. But like I said, he said he doesn't think he's going to be ready. You know, Scherzer's, I finally found it. They called it a combination between lat serratus oblique is what the stroke on his right side is what apparently it was. So I don't know, you know, if that keeps him out or if he makes the next start. They did say he's been playing catch, so it doesn't look like it's going to hold him out. You know, Sale, I haven't seen very many updates on him as of late. And, you know, like I said, the big thing was he was planning on missing the start of the season anyways. So, you know, I guess – maybe a little more time doesn't bother anybody. Let's see. This says it's an update here. Let's see if they have anything for me. But I don't know. I think I would be worried about that. So
the next stop, Henley Park, Oak Park Avenue.
Yeah, it looks like now they say Sale will be reevaluated on Friday. And then if he's unable to throw then, they'll wait a few more days and try to reevaluate him then. So we're definitely looking at, you know, what the season opens at the end of this month. You're figuring what the best case scenario, Sale doesn't pitch till mid-April, the end of April now?
Yeah, and I mean, depending on the weather and, you know, Boston and what their schedule looks like, you know, is it really going to make that much of a difference?
Yeah, I mean, with the way they are with pitchers now, I don't think it really will. You know, I mean, even if he misses, you know, say 5 starts and he still makes 25 or 26 starts, you know, that's pretty much a full season for some guys. You know, I think the question just becomes is, can he make those starts, you know, when he comes back, and what kind of pitcher is he going to be?
Yeah, well, they start the season off in Toronto at, you know, the end of this month, 26th, and that's on a Thursday. They wrap it up Sunday and head down to Baltimore. So, I mean, no offense to these two teams, but I don't think you need Chris Sale in your lineup to possibly go. But, you know, the start of April, they host the White Sox for their opener, and then they go through that weekend. Then they head down to Tampa, and then they head out west to Seattle and Oakland. So, I mean, it's not a horrible thing if you've got him kind of wrapped up and ready to go for fandom purposes. I think it would be cool to have him either be an owner or that Saturday or Sunday against the White Sox. But if you have to hold out, you know, having him start off in Seattle or Oakland isn't a bad deal either. But then they come back to the Central after they leave Oakland to Cleveland. And, I mean, we never know what it's going to be like there. But, you know, he's pitched in horrible April Chicago weather. So I don't think he'll be a problem. Or, no, I'm sorry. They come back home for Cleveland and Toronto. And then they head back to the Central for Minnesota.
So, yeah, and then I have to wonder, Dan, if are the Yankees just jinxed? Is that what it's got to be?
Well, you know, it's funny because the one of the first Yankee articles that I was scanning through MLB, you know, the app, which if you haven't done it yet, you should try. You should select your things for the MLB Vault for the next 9 years, and you will get an email shortly after the 2029 season if you won. But. You know, I mean, and I know there's, it's not going to be you and I, but there's going to be a lot of people who are, you know, just very happy with this article. Now I can't find it, but, oh yeah, I look at when the injured Yankees are due back. You know, is this going to be a common theme for them again? You know, are we going to see an entire 2020 season where, you know, you've got Giancarlo Stanton out, Judge in, and then all of a sudden Judge is out, and, you know, they've got to go call Alex Rodriguez to come play, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, now Gary Sanchez has a back issue.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you don't know, you know, what's going on with him. And I know I did see where James Paxton is supposed to start playing catch tomorrow. You know, he's recovering from having that cyst removed in February. But he's, you know, he's still going to be out till, you know, probably the end of April. You know, he's had no spring training. So if you're lucky, you know, he's back in May. I mean, it seems to be one thing after another with this team. And it's just odd, or, you know, like I said, it's almost like they're jinxed.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I would say if they were jinxed, they'd be a little bit more like situation the Golden State Warriors are in right now.
I guess it's hard to be jinxed when you win the division, but let's just say they have some bad injury loss.
You know, I don't know. I think they'll be able to hold out. You know, they've got a great group of young talent there, and then, you know, like you mentioned, they took minor risks on guys that other teams weren't looking to, and, you know, a guy like DJ LeMay, who turned out to be a very valuable asset for that team last year.
Yeah, I wonder, you know, hopefully he'll be the same. You know, and then I know across town, this is kind of an interesting one. You know, Michael Conforto has what they're describing as a right oblique strain, and, you know, you and I know how long these things can kind of hang around and affect a hitter. You know, I'm wondering if this possibly opens up an area for like a healthy Yoenis Cespedes to get some more at bats for the Mets with with this injury. Because I also, if I remember correctly, I believe Brandon Nimmo is also injured. So the Mets are down a couple outfielders. Do you think Cespedes gets a shot and maybe, can help out?
Well, and isn't he still kind of in the iffy stage?
I was kind of wondering that myself to see if he they do list the headline of this article is Cespedes is baseball's biggest if right now. Let's see what we got. I'm trying to figure out if, I don't know, has he played in a game yet?
I don't think so. What year?
Yeah. It doesn't look like he's in the last year of his contract. So, yeah, the article doesn't say much about his injury situation or anything like that. So, we'll have to see if they I don't think they do spring training stats on the MLB.com site, so.
Yeah, you have to filter and filter.
Yeah. So that's a gigantic pain, but we'll have to see if I can if he's going to come back or how it's going to go it doesn't look like he's had any bats yet this spring training. So he hasn't actually played since 2018. So yeah, I don't know. You think he can offer anything?
I'm kind of speechless, but with the foot injuries and having an entire season off, you would think he'd be in a little bit of a better situation.
Yeah, and I mean, it's really been like a season and three quarters because, he only played 38 games in 2018. So...
Yeah, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like he had the foot surgery pretty early on in 2018. So, for me, I would definitely accept in the auction league because you'll probably bid him up on me. But he's definitely a guy I'm looking at. But, it's one of those, the cool thing when we get to the drafting, if I don't – drive my wife nuts, but I finally have three monitors, so I just plug my laptop in and I'll be going and really searching and digging on these guys next weekend actually. So it's just, I think you take the fantasy part of it out. I obviously we don't know Yoenis from personally, but I think he's itching and dying to get back in there.
Yeah, you would think, this guy would be wanting to, make some kind of return. Especially being in the last year of the contract, if he wants to continue to play, obviously he's not going to get the gigantic deal he got, from the Mets, but... if he proves he can play, I'm sure he can, somebody will take a shot, especially the American League team looking for a DH, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. And, it's funny you said that because we started on the other side of town. And, I know there's not too many crosstown trades with those two, but you've got to wonder if that might happen.
Yeah. Yeah, looking here, this is a little better. I found a little better update than MLB.com. They do say Cespedes is running to first base at full speed. He's only been playing simulated games, though. So he hasn't been in a game. They said it does seem unlikely that he'll be ready for opening day, which is March 26th, like we said. But they do believe, you know, the quote they're using here is he'll be ready sooner rather than later. So, you know, maybe sometime in April he pops back up for them or, you know, something in that area. But, you know, either way, just them getting him back is a big deal, right, at this point?
Oh, yeah. It's a huge deal.
So, you know, just, you know, he's always been a, you know, a fun player. So it'd be nice to see him get himself back and,
what year did he join Oakland?
Oh, what was that? Was that 2012?
I thought so.
So I can double check that here real quick while but yeah, it seemed like it was 2012.
I mean, it feels like a lot longer.
Yeah, 2012 was his first year in Oakland. You know, and obviously, you know, he had a, you know, another career in Cuba before he came over. So,
oh, okay. Yeah. Hence why
you know,
he was one of the first ones to get the huge international deal.
Yeah. So, and you know what, I mean, you know, at least for Oakland, he was worth it. You know, he had,
yeah,
you know, basically, you know, 2 2/3 really good seasons with them before they, you know, they shipped him off to Boston. But yeah, he was solid for them. I don't know if he ever kind of showed the power they were expecting, but you know, that's Oakland and not everybody hits home runs in Oakland. I know they're trying to change that, so we'll see.
Well, you know, when you're trying to hit a baseball out of a football stadium, it's not always the easiest, right?
Yeah. You know, and I mean, to be fair, you know, when they moved him, you know, they were trying to make their playoff run, because remember, they got John Lester back for him
in
that trade with the Red Sox. So,
there was one other player, but I can't remember who else was involved with that deal.
Johnny Gomes was the other guy. So,
there you go.
You know, but yeah, it's kind of interesting because when you look at it, he's been moved for some, you know, I guess as you would expect, some pretty bigger names. You know, like when the Red Sox traded him to Detroit, they got Rick Porcello back. You know, Porcello had a couple of years in Boston. And then when the Tigers shipped him off to the Mets, Michael Fulmer was part of that deal. You know, I believe he was AL Rookie of the Year, and then he was dinged up last year. I don't know if he ended up pitching last year. But, you know, I mean, to get, you know, get kind of Raton like that, you know, yeah, he didn't end up pitching last year, so we'll see if he bounces back too. But, yeah, it's been, you know, people have given up some big-time players to acquire Cespedes.
Yeah, well, I mean, and I think, you know, his trades, his don't happen as often. And, you know, I think especially when the trade deadlines come up and this and that people are expecting these kind of deals to come out. And they really don't. You really don't have, you know, a more equal balance superstar status on, you know, two ends. It's not like, obviously what I'm about to say, don't take it any further than as an example. But, you know, I think what a lot of people expect when they hear trade deadline and we're going to make some trades is they, you know, they expect the big names like a Mike Trout for a Bryce Harper, you know, or something like that. Or, you know, maybe not so much that, but, you know, Bryce Harper or Mike Trout for Clayton Kershaw. You know, and we don't really see those kinds of big deals happen all that often, where it's usually, you know, it's not a fantasy deal where you get my three bench players for your, you know, 20 win and pitcher deal like that. But, you know, the way baseball is designed right now, it's, you know, you're either getting Yonis for two or three prospects or you're giving Yonis for two or three prospects, you know, the way the MLB works today. And I think that's why, always bringing it back to Chicago, the Cubs have not been able to make a trade. Aside from, you know, the Southside trade and acquiring Jose Quintana, but, you know, they gave us some prospects, which, you know, oddly one of them would have been great in right field or left field, but, hey, who are we, you know, to think that far. But, you know, with the situation they're in now, you're not going to be able to trade away Chris Bryant, Javi Baez, Wilson Contreras, Anthony Rizzo, and get back players that you're going to have fill that role. You know, so it's interesting that Yonis was part of those big-name deals.
Yeah, it's very rare you see a superstar for superstar type of deal like that. So, you know, that makes it, you know, really kind of, you know, kind of interesting, because, you know, other than that, I'm trying to think of, you know, the last one that would kind of qualify like that with, you know, because I know in other sports it happens, but in baseball it's very rare, you know, that the guy, you know, that, like you said, you see, well, you know, we'll give you Mike Trout, you give us Bryce Harper, you know, you don't, or, you know, because I know there was talk for a while the Cubs were going to swap Chris Bryant for Nolan Arenado. You know, like that would be a huge deal because of who they are.
I think we both knew that wasn't going to happen.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's fun to talk about, but yeah, it very rarely happens. So, but then, and then, you know, I did want to ask you, did you see the Christian Yelich contract extension? So, yeah, you know, the Brewers locked up Christian Yelich through the 2028 season with a mutual option for 2029. There's a gigantic amount of deferred money in this. It looks like overall he'll be paid $215 million on the contract total. But I thought I saw that with the way the money is, you know, deferred out, he gets paid until he's 50. So Yelich will be collecting paychecks for quite a while from the Brewers, but obviously, you know, he's been fantastic for them since they, you know, they acquired him. You know, and I'm still going to kick my feet and scream when I told everybody that the Cubs should go get this guy and put him in center field every day. Nobody listened to me. Since he's been to Milwaukee, he's won an MVP and finished second. So not too bad off. And then you think, well, you know, good Lord, what did, you know, you get a guy like Christian Yelich, what'd you have to give up? Well, the price was Lewis Brinson, Easton Diaz, and Jordan Yamamoto. Yeah, I'm not kidding you there. That's what they gave up. And I know Brinson was looked at as a top prospect. The Marlins tried to make him a top prospect. He played 75 games for him last year, hit .173. I believe they ended up shipping him off to the minors. Let me get his minor league stats here. Yeah, he did hit .270 at AAA in 81 games. So he did a little better there. He's 25, and so you can't really say prospect anymore. You just got to kind of wonder, you know, what, you know, will he figure it out? you know, you saw Diaz a little bit as well with the Marlins last year. He had a call up for 49 games where he hit .173. He's only 23, so you got to wonder. He did hit .305 in AAA. So, you know, maybe he turns into something. And then I think, wasn't Yamamoto a pitcher? Yeah, Yamamoto is a right-handed pitcher who, he actually appeared in 15 games for the Marlins last year, 78 and two-thirds innings. They were all relief appearances. He went 5-4. He's also only 23. So, they have some younger guys here. He came straight out of Double-A where he had he only pitched in 12 games in Double-A last year. So you wonder if he was dinged up. But he did have a 3.58 ERA. So he had a better ERA in the minors. I would assume him and Diaz probably start the year at Triple-A, but – yeah, that's all it cost them to get Christian Yelich. So, you kind of look and you wonder how many teams are kicking themselves in the rear end when, you know, they maybe passed on the deal or, you know, they possibly didn't think Yelich was going to turn into this type of player because, you know, he didn't. You know, he didn't have this kind of success in Miami. I mean, he did hit 300 one year, but he never hit more than 21 home runs. So, you know, you do, you know, and that's probably part of the reason why it didn't cost Milwaukee all that much to get him. But, you know, looking back now, I mean, you know, what a difference he'd have made in the Cubs lineup every day in center field, but they didn't want to give anything up to get him. You know, and now they get to face them for the next 9 years in a Brewer uniform. So, there you go. You know, just the way it kind of works out. So, you know, and then I did see that Francisco Lindor has decided to call off contract talks with the Indians. I assume this was probably a good idea on both ends since the last offer I heard that he wanted $400 million. So I don't think that he's going to get that out of Cleveland. You know, that's not something they're going to be willing to troll out there. You know, obviously he could be a, they got him for at least 2 more years. But yeah, I don't know, Dan, you see the Indians putting a $400 million package together to keep Lindor?
No, and, you know, kind of bounce back for a second. Did you kind of think Yelich would get more money?
Yeah, you know, I think he probably could have. But, you know, apparently he's happy, right?
I mean, at least he's happy. And Bryce Harper's was, what, $300 million?
Yeah, and I think Trout's was $360.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think he's – I don't know. I think he could have gotten $250, somewhere in that realm. But – I mean, I was a little surprised that the Brewers threw that out there, but like you said, there's a lot of deferred money, so I don't think it's going to kill them. But I think it's a good move for the Brewers because this is going to be a guy you could definitely draw around for the next, you know, till the 29th season. And I mean, that stadium, I believe, is about, it can hold up to 50,000. I don't remember the exact number, but I remember back in 2009, I was up there for a Cubs Brewers series and, The draw was about 46,000 that day. So, I mean, I think they can definitely recoup any, you know, that payroll for Yelich over the next roughly 10 years, as long as they stay competitive. You know, and then
I believe they also get out from under the Ryan Braun contract this year. I think this is the last year Braun is under contract for what you would look at as bigger money.
Oh. I thought it was like 22. Or no, maybe you're right. Because I think Pujols is through 23. Because I know those two guys have just enormously long deals.
Yeah, I'm double checking it as we speak, but we're to the point in the podcast where my internet wants to slow down. So I will have it in a minute.
So. Use too much data. Too much data at one time.
Yeah. There's actually a mutual option for next year at $15 million. He's making $18 this year. He'll be the highest paid player on the team. Then it's Lokanen and then Yelich. So.
Well, that's not bad.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll see. Yeah, Braun gets $18 million this year, and then the mutual option is for $15 if both sides agree. Obviously, he's going to be 37, you know, this season, so we'll have to see how he does and how it goes. But that's where they sit with him. I mean, they're in, you know, pretty good. I mean, they've only got the three big contracts, Braun, Kane, and Yelich, so –
they need some more pitching now.
Yeah, and I don't think I don't think they have anybody major coming up for arbitration for a little while. So, I know they're a small market, you know, club money wise, but you know, I mean, they have some flexibility if they're looking for it.
Yeah, well, and the way the Central has turned out, they've been, you know, been kind of keeping themselves up there. I think a little better than the run that the Pirates had a few years back.
Yeah, I think they had a tad bit more money than the Pirates did to kind of throw around. So, you know, they were able to, you know, obviously keep Yelich and bring Kane in. And, you know, I'm going to be interested to see how that pitching staff kind of works out for them. Because I did see today that Eric Lauer is going to start the year on the DL, and he was pitching pretty well for them, in the spring. So it's going to be a weird kind of staff for them, and I don't know if that's going to be good or not. I don't know.
Going back to Lindor, I did see, just kind of scan the article, that they stopped the talks, or he stopped the talks for the extension. But, I mean, if he's looking for $400 million, sheesh. Where would he even be able to get that kind of money to go somewhere? You know, I feel like the Yankees have that middle infield kind of locked up, where they wouldn't be looking to spend all that money. And, you know, like we've been dragging through, you know, over the last couple of years, the fact that Philadelphia has quote unquote stupid money to spend, you know, are they looking for that kind of deal? Put a guy up at shortstop for $400 million?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I like Francisco Lindor. I think he's a very good player, but I don't even believe he's the best shortstop in baseball.
No.
So why on earth would, you know, that would make him the highest paid player. Why on earth would you do that?
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know if he was just throwing it out there as maybe a gag or something like that. You know, he was just kind of joking. But, you know, like he mentioned that the Indians didn't even offer him over $300 million. And, I can't blame him for that. I mean, what are you getting? You're getting $300 million for 10 years? You know, he'll be 36 by the end of the deal. You know, I mean, you get $300 million for 8 years. That's big money.
Well, and
who can afford that?
Does he not, like, realize where he is?
You know, maybe not. You know, you know, obviously depending on like who represents him and you know those kind of things. Like I don't know if he's a Scott Boras guy, but you know you do kind of wonder if these guys realize, and you know maybe that's something Yelich realized was you know where he was. You know, yet Lindor is represented by what's it, the agency is Sports Meter, so I don't know who they are, but
yeah. Well, I'm not. This is not a knock on Cleveland right now. You know, I'm not opposed to, you know, taking low blows or a couple shots at Cleveland, but this has to do with the fact that does he not realize what uniform he's wearing and what has happened to the team that he's on over the last two seasons?
Yeah.
I mean, your agent has to be sitting there going, dude, you're not getting 300. You're definitely not getting 400 when a top pitcher was just shipped off to the Reds last season. Top players keep continuously getting shipped off to that team. What makes you think you're going to get $400 million from the Indians? And not only that, if you're upset about not getting that kind of money, you know, are you trying, you know, what is your basis? You know, are you trying to be loyal to the city, the team, or are you trying to build your bank? You know, because that's one of the things you really have to take into account. And are you really going to be happy 10 years in Cleveland? Because if he was given a 300, like you said, deal, how hard is it going to be able to move him?
Yeah.
Especially once he hits 34. You're for the bank account, you know, the lifestyles, the whole nine, those deals are great, right? But you have to absolutely love the city you're in and the team you're on, the owners, the front office, the whole thing. You need to love it all because you're going to be there no matter what. You know, I mean,
yeah.
Mike Trout got that 360 deal. Bryce Harper got his $300 million deal. Machado got his ridiculously overpriced deal. And these guys are all stuck there. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. Because personally, for Manny, I don't think he'll ever live up to the expectation of his deal to begin with, and nor do I see the Padres living up to meeting their expectations because they've dropped the ball so many times over the last 10 years. Pretty much this side of the millennium. But, you know, with Philly, I don't think it's a bad thing because they fall apart and then they bounce back. But, I mean, Bryce Harper, Mike Trout, and Manny Machado are not getting traded. So, you know,
well,
they have to be happy where they are.
Here's my question for you. Let me pose it to you this way. Do you think possibly he threw out this gigantic number knowing it would never happen and this is his way out?
I mean, that's definitely a possibility. You know, because when you start to get like that, you know, oh, they didn't even offer me 300. I want 400. You're not only creating dissent between yourself and the front office, but, you know, how many of the guys are going to start to distance themselves inside the locker room? And
right.
Then when you have a lack of unity in the locker room, you know, how are you going to continue to survive on a team and not only survive, win games, but be happy? I mean, I hate to say it, but we've seen this with teams where guys are just not happy where they are and they just don't perform well. I wish I had a name off the top of my head right now, but they move on and magically they start to perform better. Oh wait, Starlin Castro, although he should still be in pinstripes, but that's a whole nother topic.
Well,
you know,
While we were talking about Cleveland, we just said Carlos Santana, who plays great for the Indians, signed with the Phillies and stunk.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that was kind of going against.
You know, I mean, you look at Cleveland, and you know they're probably going to compete in the Central. They don't have, you know, a bad team, and they actually have some quality young players, especially pitching-wise. You know, like their rotation is really young with the exception of Carlos Carrasco. And, you know, when they get Mike Clevinger back, they could contend. You know, it's like I said, especially in the Central, you know, where it goes. And, you know, not only did they give up Trevor Bauer last year, don't forget they shipped Corey Kluber off to Texas. So he's gone,
yeah,
too. They basically traded their two best pitcher, even though Kluber was hurt last year. You know, I mean, they still don't look bad. I mean, the everyday lineup is solid. You know, they brought in, you know, a veteran in Cesar Hernandez to kind of lock down second base. And they added our guy Christian Arroyo. God only knows if he'll ever get to play, but, you know, at least we know where he is now. So, yeah, it's not a bad team. I mean, I don't think it's a World Series winner. But it by no means are they going to be a bad team. And I would fully expect them to finish over 500 and in the race for the AL Central.
Oh, yeah. Well, and do you think when, you know, I forget the order of who went first, but, you know, let's just say Kluber went first. There's a dollar sign in his right eye. And then Bauer's gone. So now there's a dollar sign in the right, you know, the left eye. So all we see is money.
Maybe. So, you know, you have to wonder, or, you know, maybe he's under the impression he doesn't think they're going to be very good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that may change if the, you know, if the team competes.
I still think they will. I mean, I like what the White Sox are doing, but I don't know if they're really playoff ready. I mean, are we even going to spend any time talking this season about the Tigers or the Royals?
Only when you end up with, like, Whit Merrifield on your fantasy team.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's going to be the reason. Or Jorge Soler.
Yeah. I'm going to put those in my queue.
Yeah, other than that. Yeah, you know, I mean, because, like, I'm not even sure if I would want Miggy as a dollar player, because I just can't see who's protecting him. I mean, I know they brought in CJ Cron and Jonathan Scope, but is that enough protection behind Miggy? I don't know.
Well, and as Jamar finally, you know, is he going to be moving into a role where he might be feared on the mound? I mean, it's only spring training, so his home runs right now, I don't think, are as scary.
I don't know, but, you know, we are getting ready to run out of time here, Dan. I did want to ask you this before we left, because I don't know if you know. The fantasy hockey playoffs started in our league, Dan. How did you fare? Because I'm watching.
I'm watching too, but I ended the season on a high note. I beat the 19th place team.
Yeah, I think got 20 teams I ended up. So I was rolling.
Yeah, I'm glad this one is over. SportsTimeRadio.com.